I'll be talking with Lance Benson and Mark Bauer in studio coming up in just a little bit. Now we're going to hear their first song in their opening set for the Danny Schmidt concert earlier this summer at the KAXE Amphitheater. This is Lance Benson on guitar and vocals and Mark Bauer on percussion. Something on Center Stage Minnesota.
Because anything could never be something. Find out what you're searching. Searching always comes in stride. To find out what you're feeling, what it feels to be alive. Something always is beautiful. Something sometimes makes me cry. Something's playing on the radio, and something will always be our life, our life.
Lance Benson is a singer-songwriter from Bemidji. He's released 5 full-length albums to his credit. And a regular performer with him is Mark Bauer, who plays hand drums and percussion. And they're both from the Bemidji area, both joining me in studios. Welcome to Center Stage Minnesota.
Good evening.
Hi.
So tell me about yourself, Lance. When did you first pick up a guitar?
It was the Kleenex box with the ruler stuck in the end of it with some rubber bands, probably at the age of 3 or 4, I suppose. Loved music. I loved rhythm, and I loved to bang on things. So it was early. I knew that I'd be doing something musically, and it stemmed from there to piano. It was my first instrument that I got serious about when I was middle school.
Probably. And were you writing material right away, too? Making up stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. Little ditties. And I still have them on staff paper, actually.
All right.
They're just hilarious.
You should tell them about your stage, your Lego stage.
We'll come to that. We'll come back to that.
It was elaborate. I believe there was actual pyrotechnics involved.
Yeah, it was interesting.
What age are we talking about for that?
It was middle school again. I was really into rock music at the time, like Guns N' Roses, and I was into Legos when I was growing up, and I had this. Our basement was kind of quarantined off for me to have this huge Lego city that took up the entire basement, and I made this Guns N' Roses stage replica. Detailed for their Usual Illusion tour, and I would had pyrotechnics on it, and it got ugly one day, but the house still stands. But yeah, fun.
Wow. Maybe this is a weird question. When did you get serious about it?
15, I suppose. I started writing more songs and didn't share them with anybody. They were in my 4 walls of my bedroom on my parents' nylon string guitar that was just covered in dust and way out of tune. And I'd never had any lessons. I was teaching myself off of my piano music, the tablatures and what have you. And went to Winnipeg Folk Festival when I was 15. And it opened my eyes to what people could do with an acoustic guitar, the sounds you could get out of it. And I was just floored. And so that's when I got more serious about sharing my stuff with other people, because I thought nobody liked that kind of music. But it turned out people are listening to it, so I got more serious around 15, 16.
Mark, how about you? When did you start playing music?
Geez, my mom was a musician when I was growing up. She actually went to school for vocal music. So when did I start playing music? I don't know, doing dishes with her, singing together, plunking around on the piano after school when I was 3. Forever. Music has always been part of my family and a part of my life.
Why drums?
You know, this is funny. We were talking beforehand, and Lance asked me this: how I got started with drums. And the way that it worked is in 5th grade, I started playing clarinet, right? And played that for a year, and then a couple months into the next year, and then I decided I hated it. And wanted to be in the percussion section because that was where the cool place was, you know? But so there were a bunch of kids that wanted to be in the percussion section, and it was a small private school, so it wasn't a big band. So she took the 5 of us who wanted to be drummers, and she gave us each a little pamphlet that had a concert snare drum and every single part of it labeled and its function, what it did. And then at the end of the week, she gave us all a test to, what all the pieces of a snare drum were and what they did. And I got the highest score on the test, so I was the one who got to put down my old instrument and go to the percussion section. So, sixth grade. And, I don't know, I've loved it ever since.
Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
I've been playing with Mark for 12 years, and I never knew that until our drive over today.
I don't know when the last time I told that story was. It is kind of a cool story. I had no idea it was in there.
So how did you two start playing together?
I was section leader of the percussion section in high school, and Lance was actually a drummer at one point. And so we graduated the same year, and we were both in band together. And then after high school graduation, turns out Lance did the singer-songwriter thing, which I don't think very many people knew, like you just explained.
You didn't.
And I didn't, no. And then he asked me to help him record an album, which I hooked up with him for that and came back to Bemidji because I was going to school out in North Dakota at the time. And it was a blast. It was great. And so anytime that he would come through the town that I happened to be in at the time, or I would get back to Bemidji, we would play a show together. So that was 12 years ago about. And then I moved back to Bemidji about 3 years ago. And that's when we started playing together consistently, like all the time now. And actually put songs together. Yeah.
I like that.
That was Mark Bauer, and Lance Benson is also in the studio. What's the next song we're going to hear from this recording of you opening for Danny Schmidt?
Thinking About You.
Tell me about it.
It's kind of cliche. It's walking into a coffee shop and seeing the barista behind the coffee bar just striking your attention. Beautiful, and then you want to get the heck out of there as quickly as possible. But anyway, it was just a little crush I developed, and I figured, I better get a song out of this. And so I just kind of had this little crush on this person for a short time and decided to write about it. It was real simple. So.
This is Thinking About You, recorded live outside the KAXE studios.
Late tonight, I'm thinking about you. I got lots of time and I'm not sure why I'm thinking about you. When we learn to grow up, have a moment that we hold on to. I'll take this moment and spend it thinking about you. I drove for miles and I hear the road under my tread, the tread that takes me to places I never been. You shared those miles when you rode along up in my head. That's right, you caught me. I was thinking about you. And you know you got a special way. Yeah, you're so extraordinary, I know. You make time stand still when I'm thinking about you. I could ask the question, but I know what the answer will be. So I will make it up, pretend and have to make believe. Next time I see you, I'll act like a casual fool. And then later, that's right, I'll be thinking about you. And maybe my balance is off. No, I think it's right on, but I'm sure that clock has not moved when I'm thinking about you. It's late tonight, I'm thinking about you. When the sun goes down and stars comes out, it's all I can do. And I'm a thinking and a hoping, and I have to believe that all this thinking about you could get you thinking about me. thinking about you.
Thinking About You from Lance Benson and Mark Bauer, recorded live as their opening set for Danny Schmidt performing at the KAXE studios. That was Thinking About You. So that song came from personal experience. Is that true for a lot of your music?
All but one song I've written is all real experiences or something maybe a friend has gone through that I've maybe been in part of, you know, had a hand in it. It feels better to write that way, just more sincere when you perform. It takes you back to like when that experience happened or that person you wrote it about. So it's like you carry all that with you, you know, almost like a suitcase of songs, if you want to call it that, when you play them. Sometimes I'll be playing on stage and I'll be like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that section of the song and why I wrote it or what brought that to be the line in the song. I love it. It's really interesting.
Is there a process for you like when you write your music?
Not anymore. There used to be. It used to always have to be late in the evening, you know, maybe 10, 11, start writing and go into the early morning. And now Sunday mornings have been right for me. Good coffee and writing and setting aside time to write. You know, life is busy for all of us. We all get into our routines of just rolling with life. And I always try to set aside time, especially if I'm feeling inspired by something. I need to sit down for a few hours and just set aside that time to write and at least record it onto my little recorder and capture it so I can come back to it.
What do you think originally and still draws you to writing your own music?
Therapy. It's a true therapy. It makes me feel better. I love to write songs that maybe somebody can relate with too, you know. I think we all go through certain things that are the same. And sometimes you hear a song on the radio or maybe a CD you bought and you connect with that song, you know, and it feels good. It feels like maybe that person wrote that song for you or maybe you're like best friends for that 3 minutes that song is on, you know.
Yeah.
I know that person, but I've never met him. And I've been trying to focus more on that too, is maybe writing something that somebody could maybe say, man, that helped me get through the day. And I've had some folks tell me, you know, after shows or the traveling I've done, that they said, hey, that song really made me feel better or changed me to do this. And it just stems from me hearing other people that inspired me. And it's like a trickle down is how I've always viewed it to maybe relate with other people on a different level.
Yeah. What's that like for you, Mark?
Listening to music or writing music
or then being part of the presentation of what is obviously personal music.
Yeah, well, it's, well, since we have played together for so long, you know, it started out it was very much Lance's music, and it was a privilege for me to get up on stage with him when the opportunity arose, but it was always, you know, just kind of guest accompaniment for half a set or something along those lines. And it just kind of gained momentum and we gained musical chemistry as it went along. And the sound actually changed quite a bit when I moved back to Bemidji and we actually spent it up. Like, we live, what?
I clocked it today for the first time.
5 minutes away from each other?
5 miles.
Five miles, okay.
Oh, there's a lot of firsts for us today.
Yeah.
You see what KXE is doing to us? This is good.
Yeah, we like to bring people together.
You're doing it.
I mean, we both live out in the country, and Bemidji is quite spread out as far as where the residential area is, and just turned out that way. I live right by Lance. We do campfires and stuff together, and we hang out, and it's... So there's a lot more of me in the music now, but not in the lyrics so much. I haven't really gotten into writing the lyrics with him. We tried that a couple times. It's a process. We're working on it. But, you know, the rhythm is what I do. And that's, you know, I'm not a lyricist. I'm a percussionist. And the rhythm is a lot different now. It's a lot, there's a lot more Caribbean rhythms in his music. And that's me. That's my part. The story is his part. The groove is mine. So I definitely feel like I've got an investment in it for sure.
And totally. I mean, he challenges me. I mean, as a songwriter before, like he said, it was just kind of a, hey, Mark, can you get up for five songs on this set? We haven't played together in 6 months. And he would come up and it would be fine. It'd be fun. But now it's, we dissect it apart, and when we're practicing, to go, hey man, let's make this come together like this, and he will say, what do you think about this rhythm? And it makes the song completely different than how I sat and wrote it. The mood, you know, is completely different. There's two songs I can think of off the top of my head where he's completely taken them, and now there's two ways to play the songs, and I have a hard time sometimes. Like, which are we playing it this way, or are we doing your way? You know, and he owns that. I love that. So I feel like if I do a solo set, which is pretty rare now. I used to be a solo musician all the time. I feel like one shoe is tied tighter than the other when Mark's not with me. It's like this. It'll still work. I'll still walk, but, you know.
When waddle.
Yeah. Is it a waddle? I think one foot stays pivoted and I go in circles. I'm not sure that works. But anyway, so it's been a treat to have him back in Bemidji and so close, because we can actually work on, you know, you have an extra hour in an evening. Let's drop a log on the fire and, I don't know, play a little bit, see what happens.
Or go take over an open mic somewhere.
It's fun.
That's Lance Benson and Mark Bauer, two Bemidji musicians, and we're listening to a recording of them opening for Danny Schmidt at the KAXE Amphitheater earlier this summer. And what song are we going to hear next from that performance?
Stories.
Is there a story to it?
There is a story to it. I hope so. It'd be the right... There'd be a story to stories, right?
You think so?
Right.
No, what is it?
It's pretty. I'm grateful for a couple things. A friend of mine, Justin Roth, a songwriter from Minneapolis, he's opened my doors of songwriting with capos. I use multiple capos on the guitar now, and he kind of taught me how to use those. This was my first song where I used all three capos and challenged myself to do something different on the guitar. And I was just thinking about life and how sometimes we think of our life as one big story. Sometimes you just get so busy that you're kind of forgetting all the little parts of your life. And so I just wanted it to talk about when I get older, I want to sit down and tell you all my stories, you know. I'm going to have a bunch of little stories to tell you. I have melodies throughout my life I want to share with you. It hasn't been one big event. It's been a bunch of little events that have made up your life. So I wanted to kind of relate that to people to slow down a little bit.
And this is Stories, performed by Lance Benson and Mark Bauer on Center Stage, Minnesota.
Could you take me back? Could you take me back in time? Don't press play, please press rewind. I got something. There's something I need to do. And if I find what I'm looking for, I'll raise the question only once more, to think that maybe, maybe things could change. Well, I've had everything in front of me, now everything's what's hard to see. I think that maybe someday I'll realize that this was just another story. Cause everyone has a story to tell. Some are stories of secrets, some are stories of wealth. And you realize we're all in the same game. Some play the game hard, some don't play at all. I'd like to think I'm in between, got my eye on the ball, and I'm gonna take one. Gonna take one for the team. I've spent my life in this little town. I'm still searching for where I belong. Better get my feet wet across the land, and I bring home so many stories. Gonna have a blue sky on a cloudy day. I'm gonna have a clear path when everything's in my way. Gonna take back the night and take back this life I love. And a memory could carry me tonight. Take me back, could you take me back in time, so I could fast forward, put it all on the line and say I'm sorry for everything. gonna take my chances, move on from here, packing up all the good things, look back in the rearview mirror and say, it's been one hell of a ride. Well, I've had this melody throughout my life, it's always changing with the wind and tide. I think that maybe someday I'll sit and play my final song and tell you all my stories. No, no, no.
We just heard Stories, performed live by Lance Benson and Mark Bauer. Lance is the singer and songwriter and plays guitar, and Mark Bauer plays percussion. Djembe, right?
In that song, yeah, it was djembe.
What is the most exciting 8 seconds you've ever had as a musician? As a musician.
Okay, yeah, right, got it.
You got to be careful how you phrase that.
Is this inspired by, like, rodeo or something? You know, that whole 8-second ride thing?
It was actually Milt Lee is doing documentary production training for us, and they did a documentary that was based on the most exciting 8 seconds of various people's lives.
Okay.
I was like, wow, what an interesting topic, 8 seconds.
Well, I'm going to stem here because I'll never forget it. I sang the national anthem at the Metrodome when I was 7 for a Twins game, and it wasn't singing the national anthem that was... I mean, that was pretty cool, right? I mean, but I was 7. I mean, talk about... I remember it, but a photograph helps, right?
Yeah.
But I had 2 bodyguards, literally, that escorted me down to the dome floor. And I thought that was the coolest thing, that I had 2 bodyguards with guns taking me down to the dome floor. That was 8 seconds, I guess, if you want to call it that. That was pretty neat. But having that moment and actually being able to, like, meet Kirby Puckett and give Al Newman a high five.
Nice.
You know,
you met Kirby Puckett?
Just briefly.
That is so cool.
Just briefly, I got a high five from, I think it was Al Newman and, was it Gary Gaetti back in the day? Yeah, there was like, you know, the 1987. They won the World Series year, so it was like that team.
Did you meet Dan Gladden?
I saw him.
Because that guy had a fantastic mullet.
I know he did. I actually saw it. It glistened in the light. I'm not kidding. I remember this. I'm not kidding you guys. This is like, that's a true story. So I was in utter awe when it was the bodyguards. I thought that was pretty cool.
How did you get in, like, why you, I guess? Why were you?
I'm still asking that question. I don't think I'm that good of a singer, and I wasn't back then.
I'm not asking, like, as if you're not that good of a singer.
No,
why the hell did they light you up there?
No, but seriously, I was like, you know, my mom and dad came to me one day and said, you've been asked to sing the national anthem, and somebody heard me sing at church, I guess.
Wow.
And so I didn't even know the national anthem. I was 7. So my dad, get this, my dad is awesome. I love him so much. He's so cool. He worked in radio for years, and so he's taught me some neat things over the years, but he had this awesome record collection, still does, and he taught me the national anthem. I can still remember him putting the record on the record player and putting the needle on, and then this just, I don't know, a weird version of the national anthem came on, and he's sitting on his knee going, oh, say, can you see? And that's how I learned how to sing the national anthem.
Wow.
But of course, I had a really high voice, which I wish I had now. But anyway, that was my 8 seconds.
Mark?
Man, the problem I have is I've played so many different types of music. So, you know, as a percussionist, I can go in many different directions. I went to school for music, so I did a lot of classically trained stuff, orchestras, playing for choirs, playing for bands, everything like that. So, you know, like, my senior recital was pretty badass. I worked for years on that thing. You know, I had virtuosic pieces that I played. But then, you know, once upon a time, Lance and I played a festival where there was a whole bunch of people there, and this trombone player just... got up on stage like a guy who played in some funk band down in the cities, and he was amazing. And I just sat there with a huge grin on my face, and everybody was dancing and having a great time. And, you know, that was pretty exciting. And yeah.
Did you ever find out who it was?
T-Bone.
His name, believe it or not, is T-Bone. And crazy. It was obviously destined to play trombone, right? With a name like that. But most exciting 8 seconds. How about this? This is what I'm going to go with. Most exciting 8 seconds that I've ever had doing music was probably, and you've heard this story before, but during my sophomore recital in college, and I was doing this incredibly fast steel drum piece. It was like, you know, a minute and a half song, 4 pages of music type of thing. So a lot of notes go by very, very quickly. And when I play written music like that, I see the music scrolling past in my mind's eye as I'm playing. Like, I'm still reading the music. I haven't memorized, though. It's all in my head. And it's like I'm seeing the staff go, notes, 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 16th notes, 32nd notes, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff going on. And then it's like the staff is just blank lines. Like, the notes just stopped. They fell off the end, and it's just blank lines of staff. And I stopped because I had no music to play anymore. And I stepped back, and very classy thing here, you know. It's a recital in the School of Music and everything. And I said something that I can't actually repeat in a radio interview. Let's just say that I was a foul-mouthed child. And and my mom gasped. I could hear everybody in the audience just go dead silent. And I hear backstage my percussion instructor just bust out laughing. And so that was pretty exciting. I mean, there was a lot of adrenaline going through my body at that point. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I just found a different spot in the music and went on with it. But probably the biggest adrenaline jolt that I've had on stage.
That's Mark Bauer. I am also talking with Lance Benson. They're two Bemidji musicians, and we are listening to a live recording of them opening for Danny Schmidt under the KAXE Amphitheater earlier this summer. And what song are we going to hear next?
California, even if it means California.
What's this one about?
A friend of mine had sent me an email, and the subject line was, "Even if it means California." And he was searching for love. He was searching for happiness, and he was living in Minneapolis, and that's where I'd met him. And just got to be, we had a lot in common, so we'd go for coffee and talk about music and poetry and things like that. But he wanted to move back to California where he was from, and so he'd sent me this email to say, even if it means California, to be happy again. And I love that line, even if it means California. So I sat down that night with a guitar, and I wrote the song in about 15 minutes. So it's a, you know, brought his experience into it. So I kind of had to pretend I was seeing the world through his eyes and, you know, kind of had to make it up how that would experience might be to find love again.
What was it like for you trying to, like, switch your perspective to someone else like
that? It's kind of fun, but hard. I mean, but it happened so quick because the song came out so quick. And I've always wanted to write a song that was short. Mason Jennings writes short songs. Have you ever noticed that? They're like 2 minutes and they're done.
Yeah.
You know? And I love that about his music. And I was always like, I want to write a song that's like that quick. And even if it means California is maybe 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you know, so Mason still got me beat. You know, I think he's got a song that's like 1 minute and 13 seconds or something. But anyway, so he inspired to write a short song, Mason Jennings. And then I took my friend Christopher's experience and kind of brought it into my eyes and wrote a little tune about it.
One thing that I want to say about California is that there's a very close friend of mine. I mean, I actually requested that we play this because there's somebody who's very close to me who's heading out on an adventure to California. And so this is something for her. So there it is. She knows who she is.
Here's Lance Benson and Mark Bauer performing live, Even If It Means California, on Center Stage, Minnesota.
Even if it means California and leaving everything behind, you think you better go now. You got so much more to find. Thinking back when you told me when your life was better in California. Things I've never told you, like love is chasing you, but things I never showed you. Someday I'll promise to, everything gonna make a change, everything gonna find a way, turn around and come back again, just never knowing when. Tell me what you wanna do, you never know I'm gonna follow you, down the coast into the bay, I might even stay in California. In California. I would not have to phone you, 'cause I'd be right there with you, soaking up the sun like Californians do. My everything feels fine with you in the sweet sunshine. Ain't gonna make no plans, I hope you understand. Tell me what you wanna do, you never know I'm gonna follow you all the way to LA. I might even stay in California, everything'll be fine. You'll enjoy looking at the Hollywood sign. I'll even catch you smiling, 'cause you know that you're home. Your home's in California, and you were born in California.
Even If It Means California, performed live by Lance Benson and Mark Bauer from Bemidji. They are joining me in studio. So when you're not involved with music and you're not working, what do you do for fun? You know, how do you relax?
I love the outdoors, so I'm a big summertime is wakeboard season, so I'm out on the lake all the time wakeboarding, learning new tricks. And so I'm on the water a lot during the summer, and the wintertime brings snowshoes and snowboarding and things as such. Just love the outdoors.
Is it water because of the recreational side, or is there more to it than that?
No, I love just sitting still on the water. I have a little boat I love to go up the Mississippi with and just drop anchor, and don't even have to drop a fishing line in the water for me to be happy. It's just more of the stillness of it, and just the breath of fresh air out on the water is so nice. It's like wide open and free. Same on this, like when you're snowboarding for me. That's like one of the most, besides being on stage and performing, snowboarding and wakeboarding are the most free I ever feel. I feel like nobody can touch me for those short moments, which is nice.
How about you, Mark?
Man, I really cycle. Like, it's, well, I work two jobs, and then we've got, you know, gigs, especially during the summer. We play every weekend, one or two gigs for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, we had to intentionally take 4 weeks off this summer so we could do something else other than just play gigs, which, you know, I love doing that, so that's cool. But so when I'm not working one job or my second job or doing music with Lance, what do I do in my free time? Sometimes I get like, I just got to work on my house. Like, I built my own house, and there's a lot of stuff yet that needs to be done to it, and I will go crazy on that. Or and then at the same token, you know, it's like I wear myself out, and then for a month I'll sit and just be staring at a computer screen for no good reason. I mean, and I feel bad about myself afterwards, but
Facebook,
you know,
Facebook,
seriously,
Facebook.
Yeah, I don't even, yeah. But I just worked my ass off for a couple months, you know, putting up what? Building the yard, or, you know, I'm about to start building a garage for my house, or so I shouldn't feel bad, you know. The guy deserves to do whatever he feels like whenever he feels like, and, you know, sometimes it's a nice glass of Jameson and an hour long chat on Facebook. I don't know what to say about that, or free mahjong or Sudoku, or I'm lame.
So you burn time.
I find myself burning a lot of time when I'm not actually being constructive with it. I build things. I like to build things. You know, I take a lot of satisfaction in the construction process of something, whether it be physical or a plan, or, you know, I like that. It's in my genetics. I got carpenters going back in my family since as far back as you can check, really.
Do you think there's any actual literal connection between, like, drums, and the drummer is often referred to as laying the foundation of a song or of a performance? I mean, are those actually connected, or am I being too literal?
Man, that's a good question. Oh, man. You know what?
Great question.
Lance told me today not to say that's a good question. Didn't you say that in the drive over here?
No, there were some other things I told you.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's all right. I
did. What did you tell him not to say? No, just kidding.
The foundation. Yeah, well, it is the foundation. I mean, the rhythm section is the foundation for sure, because like for instance, when you're in the recording process, right, you damn well better record the drums first, because if you try to come afterwards, if you put down vocals and guitars and saxophone and whatever else, you know, cricket sounds, whatever is in your particular music, and then you got a drummer that comes in after that to try to fit in, he's going to go nuts. Actually, he's going to get up and walk out. It just doesn't work. And, you know, unless you use a click track or you have a supernatural sense of rhythm in your guitar player or whatever. So, yeah, it's really what the rest of the music is built on, is the meter. You know, there's a lot of other interesting things. There's, you know, gable ends and vaulted ceilings and...
That's the guitar
and frescoes and everything like that.
Vocals.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how we make an album, build a house.
But the cinder block is the meter and the beats per minute that your percussionist, drummer better have a lock on. So, yeah, I totally see how it's foundation. I mean, and bass guitar, too. I mean, that's the rhythm section.
You're going to have to start playing in your tool belt now.
You should actually see me on the job site. Like, when we're framing, every stud has a different tone. And if I get left to my own devices for 15 minutes or so, and I finish doing what I'm doing, and there's nobody else around, like, I seriously will start beating on studs in a framed building and find the different notes that they are. And I mean, it's like a giant xylophone. It's awesome.
We got to record that sometime.
Yeah, it actually would be. I've thought that many times. It's a cool sound. I mean, big old wood drums, right? You know, like it sounds like a log drum, like an African log drum or something.
I'd bring a recorder out if you let me know.
Remember, this is a plan, Doug. I like this.
It's a good plan. Remember years ago when your parents had the other house and there was that old hollow log out in the field? Remember we would go out there and beat on that thing forever on fun?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
That? That was awesome. That was that's an old memory. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
And we were so into this log for hours, we'd beat on it and find all these tones.
Remember that time when I was building my house and you walked in on me and
I almost got shot with a nail gun,
yeah,
actually.
Scared the crap out of me. Like, I was just happily doing my thing. And
the compressor was running. I wasn't about to do anything, and he turned around, and I dang near got shot with a nail gun.
Yeah.
I've never heard Mark scream before. I know what that sounds like now.
Wow, thank you for saying that on the radio. I'm really a very manly man.
He That's is. True. He did a good
He's
job.
He's sipping a glass of wine.
You know, I'm so glad that you're both my friends, like, that you feel comfortable really assassinating my character like that. That's true friendship. Thanks.
Before I let you guys go, is there anything we haven't talked about your music or about performing together that you would like to mention?
Man, we've covered a lot.
LanceBenson.com?
Really, yeah, we could do that, I guess. Yeah, do LanceBenson.com and...
5 albums. Yeah. All still available?
Yeah. No, one's not anymore.
Okay.
Thank the higher power. Yeah. And
I love the cover on that.
Which one?
That the one where your hair is like...
Oh, The World to Me.
Way out to here. Yeah.
When I went out to Boston years ago and played on street corners, I was selling... I think people were buying it just for the cover.
Is like, seriously, like, what's that, like Carrot Top?
I looked like Carrot Top.
Yeah. Just wham.
Yeah. It was neat. Good moment in my life, yeah.
Lance Benson and Mark Bauer, and we're going to hear another live recording of you performing what song?
The Painter.
Tell me about this one.
Back in high school, I wanted to be a painter so badly and be an artiste, and I took all these painting classes our school offered, like advanced art. So I took Art 1, Art 2, and all the advanced, but I would get Ds and I'd actually fail art. And so my GPA was going down because of art. And I actually got called into the student counselor's office, and they asked me to drop art.
Wow.
Because I was affecting my GPA so badly. And I wouldn't do it. I'd stuck with it. Anyway.
Good for you.
This is probably 10 years ago I wrote this song. I was in my living room, and Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night, somebody had just given me a copy of it. It was leaned up against the wall, not hung up yet. And a good friend of mine, Trevor, had taught me how to play in an open tuning the night before. And I'd come up with this riff, and I was so excited to work on it the next day, and I started thinking about failing art, and so I started to write the song about being a painter and what I would do if I was a painter. And then it stemmed into the next verse. Is I've always wanted to be a truck driver for like a month, just like an 18-wheeler, just go out and do it, right? And I always pictured I had like a dog next to me. He'd be like my best buddy, you know? So the song just got dreamy real quick, and it just carried on from there, so...
for many years, actually, when I was during the period of time where I was more friend and fan of the of Lance rather than active participant in the Lance Benson empire.
Can I get in on that?
Dude, you're the figurehead. I'm actually the power behind the throne, but you know, anyway, this was my favorite song for many years. So when I would go see him play a coffee house or something like that, this was the one that I was always requesting and that I really wanted to play on, but it didn't work until I bought a Boron, and then all of a sudden, you know, it sounded really cool.
Like, and we looked at each other like we're looking at each other, yep, right now.
It was the right thing, and I finally got to play on my favorite song, which, you know, that was a long time ago. I still like it a lot. I don't know if I'd call it my favorite song anymore, but it's a good song. It's really good. It should be my favorite.
Well, thank you both, Lance Benson, Mark Bauer, for coming in and talking with me about your music and performing. We really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thanks, Doug.
And here is The Painter performed live on Center Stage, Minnesota.
I dream of being a painter, involved with the arts. Paint inside all winter, outside the other months. Maybe I could be as good as Van Gogh. I'd show my work at local art shows. Have no worries, never be rushed. Be so happy, me and my brush. I dream of being a trucker, gonna drive across the states, have all my meals at a roadside cafe. Maybe buy me a dog who would ride shotgun. I'll name him Cisco, or I'd maybe call him son. Have no worries, never be bored. Me and Cisco in the open road. Being a singer, gonna play my songs, tour across the country, share them with everyone. Maybe have a song on the radio once in a while, a sold out show. Have my road crew, no matter where we are, I'll be living. Me and my guitar.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. Cheers.
The Painter, written and performed by Lance Benson on vocals and guitar, and joined in that set of music by Mark Bauer on percussion. That music was recorded earlier this summer for their opening set at the Danny Schmidt concert, and thanks to Lance and Mark for joining me on Center Stage Minnesota today. Center Stage Minnesota is made possible with funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.